Good evening, and you are very welcome to The Art Show. I'm Marie-Louise Muir, and as always, we bring you a half-hour cultural equivalent of a deep tissue massage. We're climbing mountains with former prisoners, having an illicit but strictly televisual affair, while also finding out what the 80s ska movement's connection is to Scooby-Doo. Since you got it happens every day. Now, Danny Morrison is well known to the airwaves in Northern Ireland. He's probably more likely to have been on news programmes as Sinn Féin's former director of publicity and making the news headlines himself when he was arrested and sent to prison in 1990, a conviction that was later overturned. It was while he was in prison that he started writing the novel The Wrong Man, about an IRA man who's suspected by his colleagues of working for the police. 20 years on, the book is getting something of a remix, so to hear why, I took a walk with Danny to a location in West Belfast used in much of his writing. Danny, where are we?
We're up Black Mountain in West Belfast, overlooking the beautiful city of Belfast. And you can see Stormont over there, Scrabble Tower.
Never seen Belfast from this angle before, but I mean, this is your stomping ground, isn't it?
Well, this was our large park when we were youngsters. We would come up here and play in the summertime. So the mountain and the location of Belfast obviously is extremely important. It's in my DNA. It's a place I love.
So I have with me here The Wrong Man, which actually was your third novel, but which you have just recently released. But it's not a novel, and it's not a play. It's almost like a hybrid of the two.
First of all, I began it when I was serving an 8-year sentence in jail, and I finished it when I came out. And then later I adapted it as a stage play. And of course, you can't have car chases and gun battles on stage, so I had to write new scenes for the stage play. And then this year, a Serbian publisher bought the rights to the book and asked me to submit the manuscript. And in doing that, I decided then, because there were good scenes in the play which weren't in the original book, so it is a hybrid. I merged those scenes, those very dramatic scenes, including a lengthy RUC interrogation in Castlereagh. I merged that into the novel. It's the same plot, the same characters, the same denouement, but it is a much stronger book, I feel.
Talk to us about the actual plot itself.
It opens in the year of the 1981 hunger strike. It's set, of course, in Belfast and largely in West Belfast. It's about a prestigious IRA unit which is involved in a cat and mouse game with British undercover forces, British intelligence forces, and the special branch. And at one point, the IRA is convinced, there's also a lot of paranoia at this time, the IRA is convinced that one of its members has betrayed the unit. So it's about the paranoia. The themes are about betrayal, love, the morality of war and armed struggle. In no way is it an apologia for armed struggle. Initially, some of my friends and comrades had a difficulty with the book and with the play. They thought it had gone too far in another direction. But I think with the distance in time and with the peace process, I think people are much more mature and honest and reflective about what happened in the past.
What did people say to you whenever it first came out?
My first book, West Belfast, I was accused, for example, by Fintan O'Toole of the Irish Times of propagandising armed struggle, fetishising the use of the armalite, etc. And I disagree with that. I think there was a pacifistic theme running through West Belfast. I mean, it's very interesting, the Israeli writer Amos Oz, he says that he has two pens on his desk, and when he picks up this one on the right, he writes polemics, and when he picks up this one on the left, he writes fiction. And so, in the course of development as a writer, I have come to understand that it's extremely important that you be more loyal to your characters than to a cause. And so in this book, it's about people.
But when a writer's politics like yours are so well known, how do you pitch characters?
Well, my second novel was about a gay novel. About the main character was a gay postman who fell in love with a younger man. I did that as a challenge to myself as a writer. My third novel, Rudy, was about a tramp who was born in the village area, Protestant at birth, but as a result of something that happened to him in his life, he became a vagrant. He travelled around the world, but mostly Ireland. And yet, although he was an everyman, he still had a great loyalty to his upbringing, to his unionist community. So I tried to place myself in a position where I have to think differently, think in someone else's shoes, someone else's conscience. And I think it actually results in something unique.
So it's not fair then for people to write you off as a Republican, and therefore your fiction will be the same?
Well, clearly I'm going to write what I know about. That makes the best fiction. I mean, the novel that I'm currently writing is about an old boy who's in the late 60s who decides that he's going to form a pop band, which is what he wanted to do back in the 60s. And his wife thinks, you know, is your head cut? You know, what are the neighbours and what are the family going to say? But this character, who actually was born in the Shankill Road around the late 1940s, but converted and got married in 1969. Now, I'm not going to be obsessed with the Troubles. It's not going to be arguing one side or the other, but it's just going to be how a person in his situation can cope with the challenges of moving from the Shankill to the Falls. That's not going to be the main part of the story. The main part of the story is about his desire to sing pop songs around the clubs because he thinks that that's what a certain generation wants. So I'm with him on that.
I've got the book here, The Wrong Man, and I'd love you to read a little bit for us as we're sitting on these rocks staring out at Belfast. What part are you going to choose for us?
Well, I'll read this part here. I'm not going to name the female character, but it's Todd who's the main character in the book, and of course he's a very flirtatious young man. And at this spot here, he often drives his taxi with women that he meets and who he philanders with. So in this case here, he brings a woman up here. He meets her in the city centre. He knows her. He's quite friendly with her. They drove past the last of streetlights and up a dark mountain lane. At the top, he began reversing the car into a rutted siding, covered by tall elderberry bushes then in bloom, but stopped when he saw a goat which refused to move. It stood on its hind legs, its head stretched to reach the uppermost sweet blossom. Still, the car was free of the lane, and he had never encountered traffic this late at night going to the Quaker's cottage further along. They got out of the car and walked to the other side of the lane and sat on a small embankment on the grass of a sloping field. The air was warm and still. Through the main arteries of the city below, the luminous bacilli of traffic silently meandered, sometimes shunted. The city looks so peaceful at this time of the night, doesn't it? You wouldn't think there was a war going on, he said. Oh, the war. God save us from the war.
Danny Morrison reading from The Wrong Man, and what a great experience to be actually sitting on the spot where the characters are. Sitting in a jail and knowing that you're not getting out. Does writing offer some kind of mental escape?
In the criminal jail, we were locked up 23 hours a day. And I would read between 9 and 10 hours. I read probably 300 to 400 books in prison. I reviewed them all for myself and kept them in notebooks because I had an eye to the future where I felt that I always wanted to be a writer, but the Troubles came along and whatever talent I had for communication I gave to the Republican movement and to the Republican struggle for 30 years.
There will be people who will not want to read your books because of what you were involved with. Is there something to be said about reading works that you will struggle with?
Well, that's people's right. I mean, obviously, if they're going to spend 10 or 12 hours or 14 hours, whatever it takes to read a book, and they probably come, some people come obviously prejudiced towards me because of what I represent or because of my past, and I think that is fair enough. I read books by political opponents. I think there's something to be gained, something to be learned by understanding why people behave the way they did. It's a work of fiction, but it's because, of course, that old saying that fiction is a lie through which we discover the truth. And I think that it is perfectly vehicle. It suits my purposes, which is, in a sense, a challenge to me to explain my life.
Is fact actually stranger than fiction when it comes to Northern Ireland? I mean, I wondered, did you actually have to tone down things in The Wrong Man to make them believable?
Well, in actual fact, it's I haven't toned anything down. It's one of the reasons why probably some of my comrades thought I was too hard on the IRA, because I've stepped right out of any position that publicly and politically I would feel the need to hold. And in this case here, the character is the priority. The character, you know, takes precedent over any type of politics or any type of cause. It's what the way people behave when they're confronted with a situation not of their making, but they have a choice to make about what's going on the street outside, whether to put their heads down, because, of course, one of the main characters, Rosine, who's having a major continual arguments with her husband, Raymond, another leading character in the book, because of his IRA commitments. You know, she said, look, everybody else, many people in the street put their heads down, why can't we? And he said, I can't. And, of course, it's people like Raymond Massey, who are pretty ruthless, but who are the ones who change history. Unfortunately, that is a fact of life.
Danny Morrison speaking to me earlier. The Wrong Man is published by Elsinore.